Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In the Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and this week on the podcast we have Ashley Darby from The Real Housewives of Potomac. Ashley and I have known each other since the first season of this show, and she is just, to me, such a breath of fresh air. She's exactly what I want in a reality star. She is funny, she's an open book, her life has never has a dull moment in it, so there's always something going on, some sort of drama, but she always works through it, and you know, she just really puts it all out there, and I think that's exactly what I want in a housewife, and there's a reason why she's been around for 6 seasons on the show. You know, for our interview, we actually recorded this on her older son Dean's birthday, his second birthday, and the sitter, I guess, had him out, so she was stuck with Dylan, her newborn, or 4-month-old, and so Dylan was in her lap the entire time, so if you hear some baby, you know, slight cries, screams in the background, that is Dylan, and he was sitting right in her lap, and she was really multitasking the whole time. I was so impressed. But we really got into everything about season 6 of The Real Housewives of Potomac. We talked about her relationship with Michael, Monique leaving, her relationship with Candace, the Giselle and Jamal of it all. We really got into all of it, and I think if you watch the show, you will absolutely like this interview. And yeah, I love chatting with Ashley, and she just really is willing to get into it, and that's exactly what I appreciate about people in her position. So keep listening for my interview with Ashley Darby from The Real Housewives of Potomac. Tune in to The Real Housewives of Potomac on Bravo at 8 p.m. on Sundays. And please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. A rating or a review takes a quick second, but it means a lot to us and it helps us out a lot. And we are doing this for you guys. So enjoy the interview and thanks for listening. All right, so we're here with Ashley Darby and her new son, Dylan Darby. Ashley and Dylan, how are you?
We're great. Dylan, you know, he's the man of the hour. So really, sure, however is. Dylan is doing is how I'm doing. So we're good.
So how, I mean, so we I think last time we spoke, you were pregnant. And I don't know if filming had started, but how is life with another boy in the household? Like it's I feel like it's Ashley and the boys.
It is. It really is. Well, I do have some help now. I have a nanny and she's been just so great with helping me with Dean because he's a toddler. He turned 2 today. Today's his birthday and he's very active. He's constantly moving. He's sleeping in his own bed now. Wow. I mean, we're going through all of the things. He's growing so fast each day. So it's nice to have someone help him so he doesn't get slowed down. But at the same time, I can give the attention to this little guy that babies really need. So I'm very, absolutely. I feel really honored and privileged, Gibson, you know.
And how is it different this time around? You said you had help and obviously there's another boy to look after, so it's different when it's not just one. So how has it been sort of for you to navigate having more kids to look after?
I always give a little nod to people who have multiple children, people who have children in general, because it's just so hard. Yeah. But in the best way. Honestly, it's just been, yes, if it's been hard, is that the question?
Or just like different from the first, from the first go around. I mean,
just different.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's different mainly because I know a lot of the things to expect, and especially with my postpartum depression, I know what things to look out for. I mm-hmm. have more of an idea of what to expect. And if there is something that I realize is happening with my emotions, I've been through it before, so I can pinpoint it and address totally. It earlier versus letting it just kind of spiral and catching it post. I can be more proactive about it.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned your postpartum depression, and I think that is something that we'll get to see a little bit this season in terms of you dealing with that and just going through that really difficult time. And one, I think it's really courageous of you to film during that time and to really kind of air that out, because it's something that I think a lot of women still feel shame about talking about, and they don't feel, and I think it's you spotlighting that is really amazing. Talk me through sort of, you know, going through that while filming. And then, I mean, you start the season pregnant, and then you have, mm-hmm. and then you have Dylan, and then you go through this really tough time. So I feel like it's probably gonna be a roller coaster for you this year.
Yes. Yes. The reason that I do show it is because it is so common. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women feel shameful because having children is meant to be so natural. It's meant to be just this such joyous time of your life, but mm-hmm. it's a really difficult journey, and there's nothing wrong with saying you need help. And your body goes through so much physically, emotionally, mentally, that it's expected and it's okay if you have a hard time adjusting, like I did. Mm-hmm. So I actually am thankful for filming during those times because it does give me A, something else to focus on, but B, the ladies are very supportive. Whether we're filming or not, they're always reaching out to me. During my pregnancy, Giselle and Robin called me all the time. Even when we were filming, if we weren't actually filming like that day, Giselle would like offer to stop by, or Karen offered to bring and desserts one time. You know, so it goes beyond just the show. These ladies are really supportive of me as friends, and they're also moms, and it shows.
They get it. Yeah, they totally get it. You guys being friends, not just for the show, is proven at this point. I mean, you guys have been together for 6 seasons now, so you really have formed those really tight bonds, and I think that what you just said is a testament to that, so that's really special to hear that.
Yes, thank you.
So I'm curious for you, just like, because you have filmed pregnant before, and you're filming and you started this season pregnant, and I'm curious how that is for you, because you all have also filmed seasons not pregnant, and it's very probably very different. Like you can't drink, I'm sure that like you get into the drama in a different way than you would otherwise. Like, talk me through sort of like what that's like for you, just like navigating these kind of tense situations sometimes while also not being able to sort of like drink and imbibe and sort of get into it.
Right. I mean, I can't imbibe to catch the vibe. I really have to like channel it naturally.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I am a very naturally energetic person. So I don't necessarily rely on the liquid courage, but I mean, it does help. Mm-hmm. I think that it actually is a benefit to me because I am very level-headed. And sometimes when I would drink, it would heighten my emotions and I would kind of get so immersed in my own feelings that I wasn't able to be more objective and sort of try to see another person's perspective. Mm. And also I think in watching how the other ladies interact, I was more like a referee this time around, simply because I am level-headed, and hormonally, I'm just like in this bubble, you know, I'm in the peace bubble, like the oxytocin is just flowing through my body. So I am on cloud 9. And I think it helped the group, the babies in general, just helped the group function a little bit better.
I could see that. And honestly, Ashley, you as the referee, it probably works pretty well. It's probably a nice change of pace for you, you know?
Okay, well, that's not to say that I don't need a ref myself sometimes, but, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm only human. But for the most part, I was able to be a little bit more peacekeeping. Wow, that's an interesting way to describe myself. But
Hey, the six season journey, there's always something new, right? I mean, it's like, so I don't really want to rehash last season, but I do think it's interesting to think about sort of like, because last season, especially the reunion, it just got really dark, and it was sort of like, okay, at some point it was just sort of like, how did we get here? And like, how do we go forward? Right. And I'm sure you guys thought about that a lot. And obviously Monique is no longer going to be on the show. I'm curious. And she was a good friend of yours. And so I'm curious for you sort of like between seasons, what's your mentality when you find out that Monique's not going to come back, and then you're sort of like, okay, how do we go forward? And sort of where was your mind at sort of at that time?
Yeah, I actually was really upset that Monique wasn't coming back, just because, yes, the reunion did go down a dark path, but it was kind of a reset point, in my opinion. And I was hoping that when Monique came back, that we would be able to see how our relationships could progress. Because one of the things I appreciate about our group is we just don't stay stagnant. If you look at I've had confrontations with Robin, Giselle, Karen, and it's just the fluidity. We can't stay in that place. We don't stay in those bad places. And so I was hoping Monique would get the opportunity to show how she's coming out of it herself, how she addressed her behavior, because she worked really hard on herself and she's still working on herself.
Totally.
Going into this season, I just, honestly, I had a really open mind, and it was a little bit of a challenge for me just because I was going to miss my friend, but I knew that I had to trust this process. And that's one thing I learned season one, is you have to trust the process and you have to just be willing to be vulnerable. And that's what I did. I came in with open arms and, you know, I was going to say eventually open legs, but I just came in with open arms and, you know, let things happen.
Yeah. So are you still in contact with Monique? It sounds like you guys are still friendly and then catching up with one another and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Interestingly, when I was in Jamaica, because I spent the month of June in Jamaica, and she, for some reason, I
Goals.
was just on the way to, we were like driving in the car, and she just popped into my mind. I was like, oh, and so I just sent her a text telling her I was thinking about her and I appreciate how hard she's working on building her business. And, it's like she just comes into my mind occasionally and she'll, reach out to me about the kids.
Good.
And recently her bird passed away. So I've reached out to her
R.I.P.
about
T'Challa.
pets.
Yeah, seriously. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that warms my heart because I also miss her, but I think that it's very promising, I think, in terms of like I think like you said, it's like a reset. And I think there isn't necessarily the resolve in some capacity. But I think, obviously last season there were like quote unquote sides to certain things. And that leaves
Yeah.
you and Candace in an interesting place. And I think that you and Candace, your dynamic is interesting to begin with because I think, and I actually interviewed Candace last week, and it's interesting because I feel like on the surface it's like okay, you both have a lot of similarities, sort of like surface level, but then maybe down deep, like you just don't mesh well. And I'm curious in your mind why that is, and sort of where do you guys go from here, starting at season six? I know it's a loaded
Yikes.
question.
Well, Gibson, just going for it. Hey, well, first I will say this season, I was surprised at just how great it was and how wonderful it flowed. It was amazing. As far as Candace and I are concerned, I just think we have different philosophies and we have very different approaches. And like recently, one thing that happened on social media was someone said, why it was like, why is Ashley forgiven, but Candace isn't, or something like that, for the things that she says, something along those lines. And Candace said, it's because I'm light-skinned. So she seems to frame things in a way that I just never would go. I think that we have different personalities and we just carry ourselves differently. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does cause us to have a lot of friction and not really mesh. We're like oil and water.
Yeah, and that gets into a conversation that was obviously had on the reunion last year, which I think was really an important conversation to have. But I think if you have different mentalities about it, you have different mentalities about it, and that is what it is. We obviously have a new addition to the group, Mia,
Yes.
who apparently Candace says she comes in hot with everyone, which like I'm very excited to see that. Would you characterize that as well, that she comes in hot and kind of guns a blazing?
Let me tell you, Mia is just fresh. She's like, it's just refreshing to meet somebody who is so boldly themselves. She doesn't have any qualms about just like owning her shit. And I appreciate that so much. And it didn't necessarily go well with all of the ladies in the group, but for myself, I thought it was nice that she was vulnerable about her upbringing and even her lifestyle choices. Like, I just love that stuff. And she's not a conventional lady by any stretch of the imagination, and neither am I. So, I just gulped it up.
You guys do sort of like have a like you maybe we'll see you bond this season.
Our relationship goes through a little evolution. I'm not going to say it started the smoothest, but as I spend more time with her and get to know her, there are a lot of layers to Mia if you get to know her and take time.
I mean the first scene is like she's talking about the age difference of her relationship, and then she's talking about all the work she's had done. So she's an open book, and I think that's really all you can ask for a new addition to the group, I feel.
Yes, and her book has many chapters, and that's another nice thing. Like you, as we went on, as I learned more about her, I realized that there are just so many more things about her, and she lives fully, and
Totally.
that's awesome. Yeah.
And in the teaser for the season, we see her, what I'm calling the great salad toss of 2021, which I don't know how we get there. But Ashley, can you like tease a little bit of how we get to that moment? Because that's
Gibson.
we're throwing undressed salad at one another. So
I know. Okay. So I will tell you that I had just walked in. I guess I just have this timing thing, because I literally just walked
It's like
in.
last year.
Seriously, it was just commotion. And I had no idea. And I thought when that incident happened, we were like kind of calming down. Everyone was like, the smoke was kind of clearing, and then all of a sudden the salad just went to flying, and it was just a whole new terminology to salad toss. Like it was just like, I mean, it was crazy.
Add a
It was
definition
so
under
out of
the
left
yeah
field.
under
Yeah.
is All right. Well, I'm excited to see how we get to that point. I think it's
honestly, Gibson, me too, because so much happened before I got there. So it's another instance where I will be really glad to see how it manifested to what I walked into.
Right. Whew. Totally. I mean, yeah, like you just said, you have a way with timing. And I think the visual of you coming back from the bathroom last season, I'll never forget it. So it's iconic. Yes. Another thing that seems to happen this season that it's a kind of unclear exactly what it entails and sort of what is said is that, you know, we see a moment of you and Giselle at a meal and Giselle says, when are we going to talk about the Eddie Osefo? I don't know if it's cheating allegations or something, you know, and obviously that's very serious and that has been floated. Those things have been floated in this group before about other people's relationships. So what can you kind of, you know, tell us about what that is about and sort of how that unfolds this season?
Yes, that was, it's really not what it looks like. Okay. And I feel like, obviously, as you watch it, you'll see that there is much more complexity to that issue and the way that we are talking about it. So as the season evolves, you'll see how we divulge that.
Okay.
Evolve that conversation, because it's not really what it looks like at face value.
Okay.
And I think actually people will appreciate, in my opinion, people should appreciate how it's addressed.
Mm-hmm. And does that, because I feel like, you know, at least in the reunion, it was sort of like Giselle and Wendy were in a good spot. I'm guessing that sort of hurts the trajectory of their friendship.
Yeah, I think there's a case of a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, it does affect their relationship. And I feel like because of how close they were in that instance, Wendy didn't give Giselle the benefit of the doubt. And it just kind of derails.
Mm-hmm.
It actually, like, it's a volcano that erupts is what happens.
Mm. How are you, Wendy? This we have, Dylan is killing me. I love him. How are you and Wendy this season?
Well, Wendy and I, when we left last season, we were still not really familiar with each other. I think that, like, we haven't really talked. It's not as though we've had a lot of time to really get close to each other, totally, to form a bond. So yeah, I think it's more so we're still just learning about each other and, mm-hmm, you know, trying to form some sort of relationship.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you and your marriage have gone through the gamut on this show, and I think the fact that you guys are still standing so strong and still growing your family together speaks to the strength of your relationship. And I think that, like, what doesn't kill you make you stronger. That's sort of what I think about it. And mm-hmm, you, the finale of last season was, there was a screening match. It ended in fireworks for you guys. And for you, you know, when it comes to that aspect of showing your life, and you kind of you come back for another season, and it's sort of like, how do you think about, like, sort of like working through those issues for the cameras and for everyone to sort of watch? Because I think a lot of people have a lot of things to say about your relationship and you clearly don't let it get to you, but I'm just curious, like, you know, you've been through it so many times and I think that you must just feel like, okay, you know, we can get this, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to pretend like I'm made out of steel. Beginning, it was really hard for me. Yeah, I was really sensitive because having our age difference, people were already saying, they've always had opinions
always
about us before we even got married. I mean, there was just always something, I'm a gold digger, or and he's going through a midlife crisis, and da, da, da. It was just always something. So
always.
I was a bit used to it, but on this scale where there are so many opinions, it was a little hard for me in the beginning. But one thing I appreciate about Michael is Michael doesn't run away from anything. He is a person who confronts issues head on, whether that be in his business or in his family. So when we have those issues in our marriage, we do communicate about them. And we signed up to do this process. We both willingly signed up to do this process. And it's not fair if we don't give it our all, because then why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've agreed to do. And we do have the hard discussions. And I do share things that, you know, like, I didn't think I would ever reveal certain things about our sex life, but, you know, like, it is what it is. And someone said this to me, everything comes to light in this process. So One more thing that came to light. Yes.
It also must feel like, yeah, you didn't expect it to come to light, but once it does it feel freeing? Does it feel like it's sort of like, yes. You know, it's like, okay, now we don't actually have to worry about this anymore. And it's actually not as big of a deal as we thought it would be. You know what I mean?
Yes, you're so right. That is exactly how it is. I think the idea of it is more taxing than the actual, what actually happens.
Right, for sure.
So yeah, I mean, and the reality is I've gotten so many people who've been like, hey, I'm not in a conventional relationship either. Thank you so much for bringing light to it. Mm-hmm. Thank you for opening up the dialogue. And that's another thing I appreciate about Bronwyn from Real Housewives of, well, formerly of Real Housewives of Orange County, is she just walks in her truth so much. And
right.
And we just don't all fit into a mold. And I'm mm-hmm. really thankful that people can relate to that.
Yeah. And I'm thankful for people like you too as well, because I think that, like, I think sometimes on these shows, like, there's people want to like put a shame on people who aren't in the conventional relationship, or they want to like,
right.
Like, you know, whatever. And it's like, you know what? Like, it's not everything has to be in a box like that. I think it's, you know, I think it's good that you guys are highlighting that, like, a lot of it's a little bit antiquated, you know?
It is. And you know what's crazy, Gibson, is that this is not new. It's just new that we're talking about it, you know? Totally. But when you watch these movies and you hear about people's lives that they led in the 50s and the 40s, and they had to be so clandestine and not be open about who they are, we're just done with that. This is 2020, totally. 2021, excuse me. We're living in our truth. We're owning who we are. And it's very mm-hmm. refreshing. Mm-hmm. So that's my word of the year, by the way, is refreshing, because
refreshing. I like
just
that.
Feel like everything is starting anew, you know, like,
yeah, for sure.
Anew.
It's anew. Yeah. You know, it's, I think everyone has a clarity of mind in some capacity they didn't have before. And so I think that's a nice way to put it. Refreshing. I like that.
Yeah.
And then I think the last sort of, like, I think hot topic about a moment of intrigue, I think, for people going into the season is the Giselle and Jamal of it all. And I think it's, you know, she is, she very publicly, like, took him back last season. And I think she got a lot of shit for it. And now it seems like there's trouble in paradise again. And as Giselle's friend, how are we going to see you being sort of there for her in these difficult times? Is she going to open up? Because I think, because Candace told me that, like, Giselle doesn't necessarily open up as freely as some of the others in the group might. So I'm curious how you navigate that in your friendship with Giselle and sort of being there for her.
I think that Giselle opens up to people who she feels comfortable doing so to. And, mm-hmm. you know, obviously she doesn't have the same relationship with every lady in the group.
Of course.
I will say that she can be a little bit more, having gone through so much with Jamal in the past, she has learned how to, I just think she has learned how to deal with it and how to, not let it get to her. And that, I think, it contributes to why she's so strong, she has thick skin, she has a strong backbone. And I think a lot of it is because of her relationship with Jamal. And even when I was going through stuff with Michael, she was talking to me about how when things were happening with Jamal right after their divorce, and she was walking through Baltimore and everyone in Baltimore knew her business. It was
right.
in the tabloids of Baltimore, so she could relate to me. I just think Giselle has learned how to deal with it. And honestly, one of the things she told me is she wants her space. At this point in her life, she feels better than ever. She likes her body. Her kids are grown. She has new career endeavors.
Yeah.
A relationship. She wants a relationship, but it's not necessarily paramount to her right now. So, you know, I think she will share more about her relationship with Jamal, but I don't feel like it's something that is at the top of her list in terms of her priorities.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think seeing Giselle do Bravo's chat room, I think, is like a total natural evolution for her in terms of, like, cause she has some of the best commentary, you know? And I think that it's cool that she is not necessarily focusing on the relationship aspect of her life anymore. And I think that's refreshing, to use your word, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's liberating. And I think that I think a lot of it has to do with your kids, because when your kids are young, you want them to have their dad. You want their dad to be in their life. You want to have a good relationship with him for the sake of your children. And then at a certain point when they're old enough, you just kind of feel untethered and you're like, yeah, man, I'm gonna live for me. I'm gonna do me. I'm gonna spread my wings and fly.
Yes. So, that's, you know, that's what it. I mean? He looked at you when you said that, so he knows what you mean.
He did. He felt it.
Actually, they're just, you know, I want to end on a fun note, because I think, again, I feel like, you know, we've known each other since the first season when I started interviewing you guys, and to watch this show just, you know, grow into what it is now, and be, it's like, you guys are just, I love watching you guys. You're my favorite franchise at this point, but to see people like Rihanna following some of you on Instagram, and Nicki, like Nicki Minaj, like, you know, commenting on the teaser that you guys did, and you do the Telfar campaign. Like, these are moments that are like, to me, signal that you guys are, you're it, you know, like, and people are recognizing that, and important people are recognizing that. How does it feel to be, you know, somebody who's been in this game since season one, you're still rocking it, and now we have people like Rihanna and Nicki Minaj recognizing how great the show is? Like, how does it feel?
That's so surreal. It's still surreal, you know, when I'm messaging with Rihanna on Instagram, like, it's so surreal. I will say that in the beginning, there was a lot of talk about where is Potomac? What is Potomac? Who are these ladies? Da, 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 da. And something that has always been said to us by the people at Bravo, the people at Truly Original, is to really trust the process and just do your part, share your lives, and just be present in the moment and watch it evolve. And they were right. And so, honestly, I just feel really privileged and blessed that I get to be on this journey. Yeah. I'm so thankful. And I know it sounds a little cheesy, but to look at, you know, our lives and to hear all the things that we heard season one, all the naysaying that we incurred season one, and to know that, you know, we just had to stick with it and, you know, eventually it pays off. It's paying off. Yeah. It's rewarding. It's really rewarding. It totally rewarding. Is.
Yeah. Specifically about the Telfar though, like when those photos came out, like, I lost my shit. Like that was major. Just talk to me a little bit about that and sort of what it was like, just because I love seeing you guys all together, Giselle in the blonde wig, Telfar right in the middle. Like it was a capital M moment in my opinion. And that I love.
Yes.
It.
Yes. Yeah. Gibson. It was okay. So when we went in, I didn't quite know what to expect. All I know is that these handbags were super exclusive. Like pretty much every woman in the group had one, but me. So I was like, gosh, like I can't even get a bag, you know, it's that kind of deal. So I was a little bit nervous. Like, I didn't know what Telfar was going to be like. I had talked to him a little bit. We had a little preliminary meeting, but we didn't get to speak a lot because he had to talk to all of us.
Of course.
So he had to brief. But then when I met him, his energy is so infectious. He's one of those people where you can see why they're successful. Not only is he talented as a designer, but he has such a great outlook on life. And he's so kind to everybody. Everyone he interacts with, he treats them like they are just a genuinely solid, good person. Mm-hmm. So it was fun to get glammed up and, you know, Giselle looking like Storm coming in, like, bruh, oh, yes. You know, I was like, with the light eyes and the long hair. I was like, you know, where's Wolverine? I mean, what?
X-Men vibes, I love it.
Yes, Wendy with her hair, it was like seriously, she had a situation going on, very glam, Hollywood glam. And it was just nice to dress up because after the pandemic, none of us, at least most of us, haven't really had the opportunity to really get dolled up and do something fun. So it was nice. It was a nice little change of pace. And Dylan, I actually brought Dylan with me. He was there with me on set. So VIP. I had to stop and take breastfeeding breaks. Yeah. But I got some cute pictures of him and Telfar together, who was also really kind to my family.
I love that. Well, I mean, Ashley, I mean, you know, I could talk to you for 5 hours, but I'm so happy to catch up. I'm so happy to meet Dylan. And I'm so happy for you guys. And I think it's, you know, I'm so excited to see this season. And I thank you for taking the time to talk today.
Yes, thank you, Gibson. Always love talking to you since I first met you. So, you know, anytime you want to chat,
it won't be the last.
I know. Thank you so much.
Right, thank you so much, Ashley. Talk soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. For more celebrity interviews, subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us, as any show of support you can give us would be greatly appreciated. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow In The Know at In The Know on Twitter and at Watch In The Know on Instagram. We'll talk to you next time.